Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gamer Word, where we have all the gaming news for white gamers and their families. I am Robert, and I am joined by Ruckus. Hello.
How you doing, Russ?
And then we have Rolo here as well.
I am Rolo. That's me. Thank you.
Yeah. So starting us off this week, we have KVLT Games. If there's a snooty way to pronounce that, please let me know. But he's coming.
It's Kvolt, you know, like Henry Cavill.
Okay. There you go. Kvilt. It's maybe it's like the kilt thing, but with a K. Yeah.
I think so.
So they're trying to get on Steam or something. And if you add it to your wish list, then of course you'll see it when it comes out, and it helps the algorithm. You heard about the algorithm on YouTube. Well, there is one also in the Steam room, you know, aka the sauna, the PC big thing. If you bet on Origin instead of Steam, bye bye, you know. But it looks pretty snooty, and you know, I had some fun with Alex Jones thing. I think the more indie games we get out there, it's going to be hot stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I literally went and wishlisted it as we were talking about it.
There you go. How many more wishes do you get?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Six more.
It's six quite more possible wishes. That I may only have two left. I've done a lot of wishing.
Okay. No, yep. Infinite wish glitch.
You have to pay the premium for that.
Yeah, but just from the trailer of the game, it looks you know, it has a good it's mm-hmm. Everything seems to be there, you know, the physics engine, the graphics, everything. So as far as like mm-hmm. a side scrolling platformer, let's go.
Yep. And for those of you who want it in multiple places, go to their website and pre-order it directly for in case, you know, it gets taken off because it's Our Guys Gaming.
That's a good show title, too.
Mm. Our Guys Gaming. Yeah, that is.
You
yeah.
know what? We might actually save that for when we have him on here to review the game.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I'll make a note of that. But speaking of games that is not Our Guys, Ubisoft has been releasing games, and I'm going to review a game of theirs that came out a bit ago that I've played, and no, I'm not talking about the Negroid of Persia with the unique black character hairstyle that they all seem to have, you know?
That hairstyle is called the Race War.
That's perfect.
Do you remember that TV show? I think it was called The Good Fight, and you I'm sure neither of you watched this, but it had a famous episode where there was basically a Richard Spencer character, and it was right after Charlottesville. Do you remember this?
Really? No, I do not.
Okay, so it had a famous commercial where basically a Blackie Boo with that haircut was saying, "Go out and punch a Nazi." And in the episode, there's a guy who's very obviously Richard Spencer. And of course, he's stupid and he's full of himself and he's a bitch. So he's not too far off from Richard Spencer. But the point of the episode.
We don't punch left.
Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But the episode, it was like total anti-white, anti-Charlottesville, like retardation. But the guy had that haircut. And the same year that episode came out, the Black Panther movie came out. And the bad guy in that had that haircut. Uh-huh. And that's the haircut that Dong Lover had in the music video for This Is America. Like there was a year where like every anti-white black... Like they all had that haircut when they were making their big anti-white political statements. Just like they all had that haircut.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You heard it here, folks. You see that character in the game, it's anti-white.
Doesn't have to be in a game.
Very fair. Any form of media, you see that haircut, anti-white.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I am discussing the latest Assassin's Creed game that came out, Mirage, which was touted as like, oh, it's going to be this big return to formula. It's not going to be the massive open world thing. It's going to be smaller, more concise, more story-focused.
Is that what return to form means? Return to form? Does that mean return to formula?
I guess, yeah. Because the old formula for it was, you know, the old games, it was pretty much focused on one character in a relatively small area, like a city. You know, it wasn't expansive. You didn't have all this extra, like, 18 skill trees and these godlike powers and all that. That's what it was touted as. But it was also supposed to be like a full-fledged like game. I would not call this that. It was shorter. It's a very short game, but the shortness of it, it feels more like an Assassin's Creed Chronicles game. Remember they had like Chronicles China, and then they had those two spin-offs with the black characters fighting against slavery or some shit. You know, that's like the breadth it felt it had with this game. And it didn't feel like they went back to it, because there was one stupid superpower where you could very quickly unlock it, where you have the focus bar that lets you, instead of doing like crazy combat powers, just lets you do automatic assassinations, but you could automatically assassinate up to five dudes standing next to each other, and it looked more like a glitch than anything else. It felt like it didn't have to be there. A number of the tools that were there were completely useless and had no actual functionality. Like in the past, where your character learned about tools, like, oh, here's how you use a blowgun to make somebody go to sleep. And, oh, you can tip it with a different poison to make them go berserk and kill other people. That was learned through the story. It's just there. You can just pick it. The only one that was worth a damn besides the throwing knives was the smoke bomb. Because smoke bomb, you get into a fight, throw it down, they're disoriented, and you can just assassinate everybody there faster and easier than using the shitty, it's not a superpower, but it is a superpower thing. The story itself, like, you play as Basim, who is the final antagonist for Valhalla. Spoilers for anybody who didn't finish that game by now. Well, he's the final antagonist, and the story doesn't act, it's supposed to be a coming of age story for him. It's not really. It's just shit he did in Baghdad. And then how he became how he is. It's a very, very, like, you played the past games, you're expecting it, but it's a very hard turn at the very end with next to no buildup. It's like watching a movie and all of a sudden the bad guy and the character have a conversation, and you watch it, and you're like, there's a cut scene here where there was a lot more context and content that did not make it to the final cut that should have stayed, because now it makes no sense why the character's acting like this based on these two words this enemy said. But then it goes through. But as far as all those issues, I mean, as an Assassin's Creed game, if it was $15 to $20, I'd say, yeah, sure. It was even getting, I got it on discount with a bunch of extra money that Santa gave me for helping him intern in the North Pole, and it wasn't worth it. Also, they had the things from the other games, like the different outfits that had different special abilities, and you could upgrade them. Thankfully, the upgrade was very easy, not grindy at all. But the abilities virtually didn't matter. Like, there's one ability that was enemies ignore the sounds that you make when you're assassinating people. Never had them react to a single sound ever. There's one that said you run silently, literally running up on enemies and stabbing them in the face without them reacting to my noise. The other powers, just none of it mattered really at all. And keep in mind, I played this from start to finish on the Master Assassin difficulty. The only thing that seemed to change was the difficulty of the pickpocketing minigame, which wasn't even really that impressive or immersive at the first or second time you did it. And yeah. Everything else that was in the games, the weapons, it felt less like they went back to original formula as opposed to them taking the new formula and just gutting it relentlessly, but still leaving vestigial pieces. And one particular qualm I have is you could buy different mounts or different skins for your mounts. You know, like your eagle, you could buy a skin for it to be a peregrine falcon and all that. Or your camel that you start off with, it could be a horse, you know. There were 19, including DLC, 19 different skins for your horse mount, right? Only two of them were camels. And we're in fucking Baghdad. I had every color of the horse rainbow except for the actual rainbow horse. But I only got one. You had your starting camel and you had one other camel. But there were enemies that had camels around that you could steal that had cooler looking shit. You never got it. Like, we're in fucking Baghdad. You know, I'm playing this game in fucking Baghdad. I want to ride a fucking camel. Not all these random horses, especially when it's just looks. The stats don't matter. There are no stats.
And horses don't do well in low moisture environments, so camels are kind of historically exactly. accurate.
Yeah. But it literally felt like it felt less like a full-on Assassin's Creed game, like I said, like a Chronicles, like Assassin's Creed side quests, you know? It felt like it could have been more like DLC, you know, than being sold as a full-on game. So I absolutely, until it drops down to $15, $20, I do not advise it. The DLC that's there for it, like they have one that I think the last DLC they released for it was a Prince of Persia DLC to help advertise their Negroid of Persia game. Do not get any of the DLC because, in general, for the most part, all the items from the DLC, except for the sand horse looks kind of cool, and the sand eagle is kind of cool because it has little like symbols on it, and it actually has sand like falling off its wings as it flies. That's a cool little thing. Other than that, nothing of value. Everything else in the game is better. Those people who are like, oh, I played Odyssey, I played Origins, I played Valhalla, and the DLC items are just overpowered. Not the case in this at all. Even the Sam one where you parry an enemy and you slow down time for like 3 seconds, doesn't matter. It really doesn't do that much. The most overpowered weapon was the lightning sword. And even then, it wasn't that big a deal on the hardest difficulty.
No. I want to dwell on the difficulty for a moment. Yeah. So modern games are getting easier because they are kowtowing to the dark side Phil's of the world. And that's not even a joke because, I mean, yeah. Phil is the like the most obvious example of like a complete retard.
Mm-hmm.
But they are actually listening to the dark side Phil's out there. And they're saying, you know what? Hey, this guy seems to be the modern gamer. I mean, this game is too hard for him, and it's like some super easy game. And mm-hmm. and this is what video game companies are looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a result of streamers that really shouldn't be streaming.
Yeah.
Just playing, they're playing these games. And so at the end of the day, if you actually like video games, you get wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want the challenge. Like that's mm-hmm. that's always a good time.
Yeah.
But Dark Side Phil and a lot of younger people, because they've grown up in a world where just everything caters to you, and I don't mean like, you know, you have the boomer perspective, like, oh, the kids these days, you don't know how good you have it. But I mean, anything you need, it's right here, and like, just don't worry about it. It's all, you're good to go. So instant gratification, and then that comes with the challenge of the video game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. people don't understand this, and then they make these games not for gamers, but for brain dead zoomers and dark side films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was looking for in the first Assassin's Creed, you did have a parry and counter move that you could do to help you fight off one guy. And that lets you go ahead, like, oh, I'm a master assassin. I'm going to parry you and then stick you with my hidden blade and kill you in one move. And the first one, that only worked if you were fighting a regular basic bitch guy one-on-one. As soon as he had one buddy, you had to run away because you were fucked otherwise. Not at all the case with this game. You know, just extremely loud. Now, the enemies hit hard, so basically pretty much two to three hits, depending on the strength of the enemy, and dead on the master difficulty. Yeah, it just wasn't that much fun. It was decent enough, but not that much fun. But then again, I'm also thinking about how somebody actually pointed out this to me, that this game probably had the same issue that something like Starfield has, where that, and getting into what Ubisoft has said recently, that this game was probably mainly made to be on the Ubisoft Plus streaming thing. You know, it was not made to be sold as a good game. It was meant to be sold as part of a subscription. And it definitely feels like that. You know, like, you know, games that want you to waste more time and not put a lot of effort into it with content-wise. Like, that's what it feels like. And, like, even the DLCs seem like they were directing you towards, oh, get ready for next thing. Like, what was this guy's fucking name? I got
it
here.
Herbert. It was Herbert.
It's Felipe Tremblay Gauthier. Directors of... it's G-A-U-T-H.
Yeah, Gauthier.
Okay, well, I mean, he doesn't look like a goblin, but I'm looking at him. Directors of subscriptions with Ubisoft recently made a comment that set everybody off, saying, hey, you should just get used to not owning your games, just like you're getting used to not owning DVDs, and so on and so forth. And, yeah, obviously that pissed people off, because this, not only because of the sheer audacity of it, but the fact is that Ubisoft itself has done shit like, oh, do you own the fourth Assassin's Creed game? Do you like the multiplayer of that? Where we're going to delist this game, remove the servers, so we can sell you the scaled-up version, force you to buy it even if you already own it, and there will be no multiplayer servers.
Naturally. Because they can sell multiplayer as another premium subscription, and then they'll spin up a server for a dead game where you can, you know, walk around by yourself.
Yeah, that'd be nice if they actually spun the server.
Because there are a lot of games from older generations that where they did close the servers pretty early, and I follow some groups where people are out there just like, can we ever get this back? I mean, please. And
yeah.
And there's people that have figured out how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say, like, you have a dead game like Uncharted 3 for the PS3, and if you put up your own server on, like, we're gonna play this on the PlayStation 3. You're playing this game online. You're not allowed to. You're banned. Your account's banned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's you're actually going against the TOS.
Yep.
Yep. Exactly. You know, I originally came across this because I saw somebody else shared a meme with me with, like, the guy from The Office with the different the different things, like, if this means this and it doesn't mean this, where it's like, listen, if paying for my games means I don't owe them, then piracy is not theft. And I was like, well, yeah, wait, where did this come from? And then he said, oh, Ubisoft, check it out. I'm like, oh, shit, okay. This is the stupid shit we're on. But again, this guy said this, and I looked into, let me see, his Rocket Reach profile here. Along with being the director of subscriptions at Ubisoft, he was also global brand senior marketing manager for YoPro at Danone, which is some French food thing. That what I brought up was that they're blamed for drying up the water tables in Volvic, France. Yeah. So, yeah, okay, this is a subscription guy for companies that are just acting and getting shittier and shittier. Makes sense. You know.
Sounds about right.
But that is their plan, unfortunately, is along with other things. Like, oh, yeah, no, we're just going to take away all the good stuff, and you're just going to have to deal with it because that's the only way these games are going to go forward, which is why, I was telling you earlier, Bobby, games like The Great Rebellion, made by our guys, and games like Baldur's Gate 3, owned by single companies that are not publicly traded, that say, because the head of Larian Studios, which made Baldur's Gate 3, said basically that these TLDR, the subscription-based model, will have a small interest group determine what can and cannot be made into a game. Now, I don't think he meant it the way that I would say that, but we can all draw our own conclusions one way or another when we hear that phrase. But, yes, the subscription-based model will basically, furthermore, just absolutely destroy games, because games will not be made with content and to be enjoyed over and over. It'll be the eternal fucking slogs that will make the grinding of original World of Warcraft seem like literally being spoon-fed content by comparison. Because these things happen. I see it with my, like you see it with all these new games, especially my kids have gotten into Roblox recently, you know, because it got put up on the PlayStation Network and all that. I swear, every damn game is like designed to try and sell you a microtransaction to make everything faster.
Yes, now, that goes into what I was saying earlier about the, like, the dark side fills.
Exactly.
It's like the people need the instant gratification. Like, I need to be max level now. Like, oh well, you can buy this thing. Like Mortal Kombat. Oh, I don't remember which one. I think it was Mortal Kombat 11, where if you beat the game, you unlock one of the characters. But if you don't want to play through the story, which is, was probably like 4 or 5 hours, it was not long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you could buy the character for $7.
Mm. Yeah. Luckily, with my kids, I went ahead. I told them, like, oh, but they're trying to make you spend money and cheat. So literally every time the pop-up pops up, he would yell at me, like, stop trying to get me to cheat on the game.
Yeah,
so I'm raising him right on that, but no, that's the way this is going. Is they're just actively trying to screw up games, and even their latest games. Like, I've heard people try to tell me Negroid of Persia is good, but it's got the haircut that shows that they probably hate.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It's a side scroll for one.
It's good, like the Barbie movie is good.
Mm. Yeah, it's good. Almost guaranteed.
No, it's not. No, no. The Barbie movie isn't good. I haven't seen it, so. Yeah, well, it was a big hit, made $1 billion. It was critically acclaimed, and it was a movie about how this white woman needs to help a brown tranny for no reason. It's not a good movie. There's nothing good about it. Like, this game, it's like when I was talking many episodes ago about the Star Wars game. I've already forgotten what it's called. It's like New Apprentice or something. Fallen Order, Jedi Order. I don't know. Who cares? Yeah. Whatever. It's every game is good now. Like the combat, it's all the same in all these games. Like, when I played that game, the combat literally felt exactly the same as God of War. And I don't mean the first God of War for PS2. I mean the one for PS4, the one with the one with the Vikings. Yeah. All these games, it's all the same. And So this game, it's the graphics are fun and nice and visually interesting, and the gameplay is tight. The mechanics are Prince of Persia, but just updated. So if you like Prince of Persia, well, it is that, but nothing it does offers anything new. And when I say game developers, they're making games for this, the modern audience, the brain dead zoomers and the dark side fills. Mm-hmm. That's a small percentage of gamers.
Mm-hmm.
It's decent numbers for now, but it's not sustainable long term, because eventually they're going to find something else to do, and everyone else is just going to move on and do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's what's happening to gaming is the same thing that happened to Hollywood movies, where mm-hmm. everything is exactly the same, and it's all just preaching. So mm-hmm. people used to like going to the movies, and they like to take in the sounds and the pictures, and maybe have a discussion about it, and maybe watch it again with someone else. And now everything's the same. All CG is the same. All the plots are the same. It's about the white woman and the black man, and how the open borders is what saves the world, and how white people want to destroy it. It's everything. And then eventually mm-hmm. every game is going to be a 300-hour grind, or you can shortcut that by like 95% by paying, you know, whatever, the $50. Do you remember when one of the new Star Wars Battlefronts came out? I can't remember which one it was. But it was like 60 hours to unlock Darth Vader, or you could buy him.
Yeah, that was something. Battlefront. Was it 2 or 3?
There was no Star Wars Battlefront 3.
Then it was 2.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it was 1 or 2. I think 2 sounds about right. Yeah. But they got so much flack for that
mm-hmm.
that they cut down the grinding to like, I think it was down to like 5 hours or something. Like, it was real quick to get Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost a huge chunk of their fan base because of that. And that's kind of where gaming has been at. They're mm-hmm. they're trying to force people into this new microtransaction or grind mentality, and mm-hmm. it doesn't really work on a lot of people. Yeah. And actually, the people that it does work on are already just playing Fortnite anyway.
Yeah. I was going to say, funny you mentioned the Battlefront thing, because I remember seeing where they finally announced, hey, guys, we decided to stop doing that shit you hate, and we're rolling back. And the top response to that tweet was dead game lol. Because they had already killed it.
Well, they announced it maybe like a week or two after. It was real quick. It did not last for long, because mm-hmm. people figured out the scam really early on. They're like, you're trying to make us buy Darth Vader, and that's the character people want to be. No one wants to be Rey. Like, people want to be the characters that they like.
And
I don't know. I don't think that game lasted after that, because I think most people just figured out, like, okay, this isn't the Battlefront that we wanted. This is just a con. So yeah. I don't know. Let's do something else. Let's go like build a tool shed.
Yeah, it's not the apple that's rotten. It's the tree. And because they could even think such a thing, you know, checkmate.
Yeah.
You revealed yourself to the Jedi, as they say.
Yeah. Like Battlefront 2, I think now is only played by people who are like, I want to go massacre Ewoks and say racial slurs.
I don't play that game anymore. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I will say one funny thing that did happen with Mirage when I was playing, and I told you guys about before. There's a little side mission where you go to this village that's abandoned or whatever, and there's this Nog running around shouting there's a demon that killed the village. You follow the clues and find out that basically what it is that they stole some Chinese crates or whatever from a merchant that was going by, probably to the Caliph's or Caliphate alchemists, that had a crystalline form of crystalline things that were basically poison that killed them very quickly from burns and boils on their face. And then you tell the guy, and he's like, he's obviously guilty because it was his idea to steal in the first place. I'm like, so basically this nigger convinced his people in his village to steal crystal meth and then die from exposure. By the way, his name, I'm not bullshitting you, was Mabad. This nigga's name literally killed his entire village by convincing him to steal crystal meth. His name is Mabad.
Yeah, that's
I
unreal.
Like, I couldn't have wrote this joke. I would have thought this was too on the fucking nose.
Yes.
But no, that was great. Other than that, no, it was just completely fucking just dumb as a result. And speaking of completely dumb shit, you know, along with Ubisoft being dumb, you all know how I love Take-Two Interactive. You know, it's run by goblins and it ruins everything from GTA to remakes of Red Dead Redemption. Or the non-remake, just re-release of Red Dead Redemption. You know how I love them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I found out a couple of things, funny things. There's a company called Remedy. There's Remedy Games. I included a link here for you here. You can see the two logos. Apparently, Take-Two, on behalf of Rockstar, because it owns Rockstar, filed a legal filing against Remedy, claiming that the Remedy's stylized R here was too similar to Rockstar's R in a star and a yellow circle, that it would confuse the public. It was too similar and would confuse the public as to whose game it was with that logo. Now, they never actually sued Rockstar Energy Drinks, even though Rockstar Energy came out in like 2000 something, and Rockstar Gaming was a late 90s creation. And because when I Google Rockstar or Rockstar logo, first I see Rockstar Games, then I see the Rockstar Energy Drink logo, you know, and I'm seeing them in equal amounts in this result. So they didn't sue that, but they did sue this Remedy Gaming, and supposedly they're still on good terms, but part of that might be because over there in the UK, they have a what's called like a 2-month cooling off period from when something is filed to when it can actually go to court. So that might just be all it is. I think these guys are also supposed to work on the Max Payne games or the remakes. It's just goblinoid litigious bullshit.
Yeah, I mean the Remedy at least has like a double R.
Yeah, it's obviously quite stylized. Those of y'all listening can look it up, or I'll put it in the thing here. But yeah, it's completely crazy. But that's not the only shit it did. I also find out, like, you remember that game, It Takes Two, that I was playing with the wife, we talked a few episodes about?
Yeah.
Apparently, Hazelight tried to trademark the title of the game, of It Takes Two. Take-Two was able to get it shut down because it was the game title, It Takes Two, was too close to Take-Two Interactive game publishing company.
Wow.
Yeah, this is just bullshit.
Well, they got that copyright, right?
Yeah, Take-Two.
Here's the thing. There was during December 11th, if you guys remember that, in the aughts, mm-hmm. I think it was aught one, somebody went into the patent office or whatever and tried to trademark the words December 11th, 2001. Pretty gnarly stuff.
I remember that. Yeah, you know, they would have had it was pretty gnarly. Now, they would have had a better time if they tried for September 11th, 2001. That would have been a better trademark.
Yeah, because that day was uneventful.
Yeah, but that could have meant a lot more money.
No. Well, no, that day was eventful. There was a Dream Theater album that came out that day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right, you want to know something crazy? The day on September 11th, 2001, there was a Dream Theater album that came out that had the World Trade Center on the cover.
Okay. We got to send this to Alex Jones and the Paranormies, you know?
Why? So the Paranormies can call us faggots and Alex Jones can say it's the Chi-Coms?
Yeah, I guess. There you go. All right, maybe we don't do that.
Well, the important point is, which one of us is a Chi-Com and which one of us is a tranny?
We're all trannies, according to the Paranormies, and we're all Chi-Coms, according to Alex Jones.
100%. But
yeah, this was ridiculous.
The thing is, like, in this land of what do you call it? The plane is headed towards, like, I don't know, some kind of like bridge or a tower or something. It's going to crash, right? And people are squeezing whatever shekels they can out of anything. It's just like, hey, let's just use 100 grand and see if we can take down this game that was popular and squeeze some shekels out of them.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, yeah, of course, let's go.
Yep, and then they're going to do that and try to blame it on something else and not look at who owned the insurance policy for the tower when it gets hit.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. That was one lucky Larry.
Mm-hmm. Extremely lucky, but no, that just annoyed the crap out of me. He found
silver inside of a stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how he got his name.
Yeah.
No, this is annoying me. Like, the phrase, like, it takes two. Like, it's a game about, you know, divorce and the family and the parents needing to not be divorced before the kid runs away, you know?
That does not sound fun to me.
But it was absolutely fucking...
Yeah, the concept is you're like a kid and you're trying to rescue the marriage by, you know, doing the bit.
Doing weird voodoo shit to turn your parents into, like, dolls and then have to, you know, try and make things work.
Yeah, work together through this maze.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it has a concept to it. And, like, what if I made a film and I said, can we do a second take? That's probably also trademarked.
Wait, so what? No. It's probably like, hey, we need two takes. That sounds like that might be a little more. That sounds like that's going to be infringing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I release my film, my indie film. And they're like, it doesn't matter if you're Indian, like, we're going to sue you because you said you took two takes. And sorry, bucko. Bye-bye. No more Bollywood for you.
Yeah. Well, it's ridiculous, but...
I need two takes. It takes two. It takes two. Bloody bastard. Bloody. No, you bloody. You take two bloody. Take two bloody bastard, bitch. Mm-hmm. Bloody. Fuck your mother, bloody. Take two. Take two, fuck your mother. Enjoy a Slurpee.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, just as a side note, what's his face? Ramaswamy. He's kind of leaning into that. Yeah, ram it up my Swami. He's leaning into that a little bit. So there's a picture of, I don't know, Nikki Haley or somebody at a 7-Eleven, and he's like, if you need a refill, just let me know. And it's like he's saying that on Twitter. So he's trying to become very likable.
That's what that was what I was quoting when I said enjoy Slurpee.
Okay.
That's what he said.
All right. Very good.
He said, yes, he said, have a Slurpee. It's a picture of someone in a 7-Eleven. It wasn't Nikki Haley. It was some other asshole.
Yeah. You know, Nikki Haley is the heir apparent, is what they're saying. She won't drop out of the race after getting, like, I don't know, 25% or something. Pretty funny stuff.
Mm.
Well, she's really, really likable.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has a lot of, like, big money behind her. Like, all the ones who were supporting Hillary are now supporting her. And it's like,
well, that just shows you that it's bipartisan. She's so good that the people that support the Democrats even like her. Like it's yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, we should get behind her.
I hate that word bipartisan. It's like, all right, you know, don't talk about your son ever again.
Don't talk about my wife's son, okay?
Exactly. Because he's a bi-party son.
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah. You know what I am enjoying, you know, is...
Elder abuse?
Yes, or specifically abuse of models, where, even look at this before, Stephanie Tyler Jones, the original model for Mary Jane from the Spider-Man games. Apparently people like actually went and called her workplace to find out whether or not they were lying about her.
Clarify, she's not a model, she's an actress. She's the actor who plays Mary Jane. She wasn't just a model for it.
Very fair. Apparently people called her workplace to find out whether or not they were still whether or not she was still the model and actress for Mary Jane, because we covered it before. It does not look like the same woman was used as the model in Spider-Man 2 as was in Spider-Man.
Well, see, that's the thing, is she's not a model. She's an actress. So, like, they're not modeling Mary Jane off of a model. And, like, look at her face. You know, that's not a model's face. Mm-hmm. They changed a lot of things in that game. Like they changed Peter Parker from the PS5 remastered version, and then they made him look different. I don't know why they did that. It's very odd. They didn't need to. I don't know why they did that. It's not like they fixed some textures. They literally just gave him a new face.
Yeah.
They couldn't secure the rights to his real face. You know, it has to be something stupid like that. Imagine you're playing a Harry Potter game and Peter Dinklage is not the guy.
I can imagine that. Now, see, there's probably a little bit of truth to that. Not the Peter Dinklage part, but the face likeness and whatever, because everybody hates the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, everybody hates it. Mm-hmm. But in all these recent outings where they've had Freddy Krueger be a guest character in whatever, it's been the remake version.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you would do that unless there's some kind of like rights issue. Like we can't. It uses this actor's specific face, so you know we can't do that for whatever reason. I mean it does have to be something retarded like that.
Yeah, I think it's one of two. Either I don't want to be typecast, so all right, you're making a Harry Potter game, don't use Daniel Radcliffe's face. All right, take it easy with my face. I'm gonna play like a Thor character in the next Marvel film, so shut up about it, huh? And, you know, it's either that or they just don't want to pay enough money to secure the rights, or they did a bad contract at the first movie. You're becoming the face of this guy. You're signing like a 3-movie deal. And yeah, we can negotiate a bit between films. You're going to be the face of this guy for any and all propaganda. Okay? Sound good?
Yeah, it might be something like that where they have to pay the actor, like you're going to use my likeness. Like a good example is the movie Aliens. There was a character who survived that movie who was killed off screen in the sequel to it, in the very beginning of the movie, and the actor was so mad about it, and they used his likeness that he ended up suing the 20th Century Fox, and the picture of his face that they used in that movie, cost them his salary that he made on Aliens.
Wow. That is powerful stuff.
Yeah, and just because they just used his face, and you get pissed enough.
Yeah, imagine you send in a photo to the casting director, and one of the things is that you agree they can use the image however they want in the office, and they just switch the picture of that to that, you know, your casting image, totally different haircut, you know, just here you go. All right, we fixed it. Bye bye. Yeah, that's nuts though. You know, you think about all the bloat in the West, like things that can be replaced by AI. The legal system, that's a thick puppy, you know, and that's not going anywhere.
No, and it's so annoying because it was so obviously designed by bad faith Jews just so they can do all these Jewish shenanigans, shall we say. And their goal is to make sure that they can do whatever kind of shady, uncouth business practices possible, just so they can use the law, because you don't know the law. I don't know the law. Ruckus knows the law, but he won't tell us the law. But everyone Correct. Else out there, they really have no idea how anything works. And I bet the people that made that movie, they had whatever, and who cares? No, this is no big deal. And had they not killed this guy off, he probably wouldn't have had a case. But some Jewish lawyer was like, "Oh yeah, we can get you some money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get you." And that picture that they used of that guy, it cost him like $600,000 or something.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's pretty funny.
Here, I thought it was just them trying to make everything ugly.
Well, that in the case of the women, yes. But in the case of the Spider-Man, like, there was no reason to change that.
No, none.
It's not like he was white and they made him black. Like, I'd understand that stuff. but they just gave him a different face.
Yeah, like entirely. And I don't know. I mean, just you're talking about it reminded me of have you heard of this game called Stellar Blade?
Is that like the enhanced version of Blade from the PS2 with the black guy that kills vampires?
Nope, not at all. I only know about it because of the recent controversy I saw where there was a quote-unquote male, we'll say quote-unquote male, I don't know if I call them male, or even men, definitely not men to be honest, and female streamers talking about how the character was hyper-proportioned and unrealistic, and the developers came out and said, yeah, we like pretty women, because, you know, Asians will just say they like pretty women, and also showed that it was literally modeled off of 3D scans of a Korean model's body. Like, this was not hyper-proportioned. You know, you just hate pretty things. And I've checked it out. Nothing crazy like this. This isn't like a near automata, you know, constantly looking up the girl's skirt thing.
Well, then, you know, I don't care.
Yeah, it's I mean, it definitely gets shots of her butt and all that, but it is not
anything. I'm all back in.
Yeah, I mean, the character model is definitely attractive, but it's not. When I originally was hearing about it, I was expecting, like, you know, something you'd see in, like, mid to late aughts Blender porn shit, you know?
Yeah, that's what they like to do.
Yeah, and that was not at all what was received.
But is this game coming out of Asia? Because they...
Yes.
Oh, so they're doing more hyper-realistic body standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I want. That's what I want in a game where I like kill like wizard robots from like the planet Thal.
Yeah.
I need a little realism, especially when I'm playing as a female character. That's what I want. You know what game really got me where I was just like, this is like the right amount of realism for me. Dried down to everything, mm-hmm. including the character, is the Horizon sequel with like the mm-hmm. worst man-faced, like butt-faced woman I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, see that?
That's what I want.
Like, I'm fighting robot dinosaurs with a bow and arrow. So like, all right, this is realistic. Like, this is more than Second Life. This is mm-hmm. First Life. It's so realistic. Yeah. So like, and I'm playing as a woman, make her as ugly as possible. Because like, one, when I think what might happen today? Like, if I step outside my door, robot dinosaurs might come kill me. And what am I at the end of the day? I'm a butt-faced woman who looks like the mom of a biker. Like that's how I define myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really need my face.
Remember Bayonetta?
Yeah. Oh, that was so problematic.
No.
Bobby, do you not know anything about Bayonetta?
No, I don't.
Okay, do you know Devil May Cry?
Yeah.
Okay, so Bayonetta is essentially the female version of that. Like, she's like a hypersexual, like really exaggerated proportioned like woman. She's like a witch angel that like she fights over the top like demon monsters. But she's mm-hmm. like she has like a very suggestive walk and she gets naked for her devil trigger, essentially. Yeah. It really is just the female version of Dante from Devil May Cry. Oh. And I said that to someone, they're like, well, Dante's... It's like, yeah, but girls don't want guys to act like women. Like, Dante is like the most over-the-top, hyper-masculine character. Like mm-hmm. that, and Bayonetta is like the most hyper-sexual woman character.
Isn't she basically actually naked because her clothes are just formed by her hair?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
As you do.
That's great, see, Noel, you know?
See, and that's the thing is when you play, if you're making me play as a woman, like you have to make her like super hot with like banging double D's and, you know, I want 36, 24, 36 proportions. Like, if you make her ugly, like, why the hell am I playing some game as a woman? Why would I want to do that?
You're so outdated. You know what I like? I like a girl with a good muffin top to remind me to eat.
You know, you should watch the show Echo. Like, this is a show for you.
My female character is that girl from a new fable.
That one too, yeah. She's like dark skin with like Mountain Dew mouth and like retard eyes.
Gee whiz.
Like, if you're gonna make me play as a woman, make her attractive. Mm-hmm. Like if you play as a male character and he's really, really ugly, that's funny. Like, okay, so Mr. Pickle, Steve, Dave, and I, we played the World of Warcraft, mm-hmm. many, many years ago, you know, 15 or so. And Mr. Pickle had a female dwarf named Olga, and he made her intentionally as ugly as possible. And mm-hmm. see, that was a joke. And that wasn't his main character. That was one of the characters he played, and he did it. It was just a joke. But his joke is now modern female character design. And the thing is, whenever they show these characters, they're never met with praise. Never. They're always made fun of. They're always memed. And there's always people that they take like 10 minutes to make them look better. Like, someone's like, this took me like 4 minutes in Photoshop. Like, there's no reason that they couldn't make this character look like this. So they are intentionally making them ugly. Like, they're trying to make every woman look like Fiona from Shrek. And I'm talking about Nightfall Fiona.
Yeah. No, it seems to be the trend. And, you know, I'm just glad that they're getting back to realistic beauty standards.
Did you see that AI thing that came out? It was like AI creates women based on the country they're in. And no. most of them looked pretty good. The British one looked like Louis Anderson. The American one looked like Chris Hayes, but with like blue and pink hair. And the rest of them looked like, you know, pretty normal. But it's like that's what they're doing. They're not okay. I found it. Okay, here I'll send it to you gentlemen. You can take a look here. But that what it seems like what they're doing is, because a lot of these, like the Indian one, it's like the Indian women don't look like that. Okay, but the rest of them, I think they're India and Pakistan. Like those ones are just like, no, they don't look like that. The other ones, yes. Like, but the England, USA, and the Canada, like the Canadian girl still looks pretty good. But I mean, you could tell any woman that looks like that is a train wreck and nightmare. And she would have way more tattoos than the one that's showing. But yeah. But like the English woman, she straight up looks like Louis Anderson.
Yeah, no. A Canadian girl looks like liberal girl in high school. Then she went to college and became USA the American girl. One. Then she grew old and became the English girl.
Yes. That is exactly correct.
You notice that like Pakistan, Brazil, Ecuador, and India, they're all like the most whitewashed version.
I know that. That's why. That's you know. Yeah, that's why I'm saying India and Pakistan is a no. Brazil and Ecuador, I'd say probably, like I'd say probably half the country is high caste in those places. So that one I'll give a little leeway because like the black Brazilian women are like, oh boy, like they're probably uglier than the average Indian woman. But there's enough high caste Brazilian women that one I can see that being the average, and same with Ecuador. But yeah, the Pakistan and India, no dice. Like those women, like the Pakistanis, like they would look like men, and the Indians are you know, they're their own ugly thing. But all the other ones, like sure, I'll buy it, especially like Iceland, Spain, and Ukraine. Like, yeah, that sounds about right. But it looks like what they're doing is they're like, we need to design a female character. And then like, they're like, what did that England look like in that AI thing again? Like, okay, you know, let's do that, but scale it back a little bit. I do like that there's chickens in the background of that one, though.
Yeah, because they're all farmers in England.
Yes, that's what it is. And it goes great on a cracker.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You know, there is an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation that you and I should talk about, Bobby, sometime. It's an episode where this girl she's having trouble with her boyfriend. And Data is such a good listener, so she tries to have a relationship with him. And then he acts basically like all these like AI like boyfriends. You know, he says like the right thing at the right time, but the girl is like really confused by it because he doesn't act like a human. He acts like, you know, an artificial intelligence.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, but the point is, they make all these female characters ugly. And if you're gonna make me play as a female character, I'm not gonna do it if she's ugly, because I don't want to look at that for. Especially with the modern game now being like a 600-hour grind, I'm not looking at that for 600 hours. I have a hard enough time looking at it for like 30 seconds to laugh at it.
Yeah, it's sad. But, you know, aesthetics and beauty, there's something in the Apollonian spirit within us that likes to gaze upon it rather than...
really? Ralph. Apollonian.
Yes. I knew you couldn't resist.
No, I couldn't. Yeah. It's really Apollonian and Machiavellian. Yeah. It's hot stuff. Look, these modern games, they make these female characters just look like the modern woman. And a lot of these women, they have daddy issues. And they don't have the Apollonian spirit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I was just checking out this broad of yours, the one that's going to be the devil may be crying girl.
Oh, Bayonetta?
Yeah. So she has like a link to some thing where it's like exclusive content and messaging. Okay. Get it? So it's like you find her linked on her Twitter there, and there's some photos, and you know, looks like a human being, whatever. And then there's like, oh, come here for my OnlyFans. Yes. And we've created an AI bot that you can talk to, and you can probably do texts per, you know, shekels per text. I think we've discussed that before, where it's pretty out of control.
Shekels per text, aka tekels.
Yes. Uh-huh. How many tekels to show AI generated, you know, bobs and you know, so this is the world here. Pretty exciting times. And they've definitely enhanced her from your tweet, because they linked her Twitter in the tweet there, Ruckus, and the Stellar Blade Eve lady here. Uh-huh. Is very, very different than the one that's in these that's in her Twitter. You know, it's a totally uh-huh. different person. And so I should have studied graphic design and found some Korean broad. You know what I mean?
Well, the weird thing is, if you studied graphic design, like, your job would be now like, all right, Bobby, we need you to make a woman that looks like your worst nightmare after you wake up with a pounding hangover.
Yeah.
Like, what do you not want to see tomorrow morning when you sober up? We need you to make that right now, and that's going to be the main character for our game. And everyone's going to know that you're the one that designed her.
Yeah, imagine the heel turn that they're experiencing now. It's like computer enhanced, and they're like, no, actually, the opposite. Can we do the opposite?
Computer dehanced.
Yeah, exactly. So pretty funny stuff. But yeah, this is the future now. Stellar Blade. Mm-hmm. Here's her Instagram, and all of her posts link to her, you know, subscription. Don't you guys mm-hmm. want to talk to her? Maybe we can get her on the Game Award.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
it's just too funny.
Yeah, it is quite humorous.
She looks way different in her Twitter here, you know. She looks like a character you'd want to play as.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to remove all the filters before they linked her thing. That's so funny. Yeah.
The funny thing is, with a lot of Korean women, they're really, really good at applying makeup, and then they take it off and it's like, holy moly, like, did you paint a new face on? What mm-hmm. is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, it's horrifying. I've seen the before and after, and let's just say that the chinks are the experts, especially these Korean broads, you know. They mm-hmm. they took 8 years of, what's it called, cosmetology, just to figure out their face, and then mm-hmm. they take it off and oofta.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I'm actually looking at this, that thing that you linked, this Genki Japan. And here's something I don't understand. They have a tweet from March 11th, and it says, Japanese game studio, in quotes, let's make a character that will appeal to the West. And the result, I don't understand what they're trying to say, because here's it looks like Dante and possibly Virgil from Devil May Cry 5 or 6. I don't know what they're on, and they don't look very good. But Jake Muller is there. I think Jake Muller is like the best Resident Evil character introduced after 2. So I don't know. Maybe this person doesn't quite know what they're saying, but Dante was definitely cooler before DMC came out. And then I guess maybe they made Dante. He kind of looks like the Sham Wow guy here. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they're just like, they just had to throw a fourth one in. But I like Jake Muller a lot. So I don't know what they're trying to say here.
I don't know. Link me the exact one. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, yeah. I'll link it. I don't understand what, like, I don't know what I'm looking at here. So is this someone, like, it might be like a Japanese person that's like mad that they had to dumb down their designs for the West, but I think they just threw a random character in there because they needed a fourth one. And I do agree that a lot of Japanese video game companies are kind of forced to change their designs for the West. Like they can't make like female characters sexy. Like they can't make like male characters like hyper masculine. Like they have to make everything gay for the West. That is something that Japanese game developers has said. But the Jake Muller one is just like that is just super out of place there. Yeah. That, like it might as well be like, let's make a character that will appeal to the West, and you have like three of random characters, and then one of them is just like Donkey Kong. Like, I don't understand what is Donkey Kong doing there. Donkey Kong is kind of, you know, anyone. There's worse characters in Resident Evil 6 that they could have put in there. That's the only cool character in Resident Evil 6.
Yeah, and again, the thing is, like, okay, you have to, you know, change this for the West, but for who in the West? Because, I mean, you and me, we want, attractive characters.
Exactly. I think the point here is this person is just frustrated that Japan has to dumb things down for the West. So here's a story that I heard about Final Fantasy 13, which... Mm-hmm. Nobody liked, because that was the linear one. People described it as walking down the longest hallway of your life with the most beautiful wallpaper you've ever seen. That was how they described that game. And what I heard that Square wanted to do was they wanted to harness the full power of the PS3, and they wanted to use this open world map system that it was something that only the PS3 could do. And like, they wanted to really push the boundaries of the next generation of Final Fantasy. And there was some restriction put on them where they said, well, you need to put it on the Xbox 360 because we need those American unit sales. So what they did is they just scrapped that whole idea because the Xbox 360 couldn't handle it. And then they just delivered what they delivered. That was the story that I heard. And I do believe that. I can tell there was a lot of resentment from Japanese game developers developing for the West. And a lot of it is because they have to kowtow to Jewish parameters, not really American gamer parameters.
Yeah.
But Do you know how well the Xbox did, or the Xbox 360 did in Japan?
I do not.
I know. Yeah, it was like 300 units or like 3,000 units or something. It was like something extremely terrible. I think the 3DS sold like, it was like 200,000 units, and that was considered a huge disappointment. And the Xbox 360 did a tiny fraction of that. So like Japan does not like understand the Western gaming culture. Like they really, like they can't wrap their head around it. Like they're not like us where we're like, I don't get it. Why would you make girls ugly? Like, no, we get it, but we're just, that's just kind of our wow, just wow. Where Japan, they just don't understand. Because
yeah, they haven't explained that.
Well, they do their things their way, and it always works in Japan. Do you know the story of why Street Fighter 2 had so many versions?
No.
So Capcom used to have Capcom arcades, and all it would have was Capcom games. Like you go to a Capcom arcade, and it doesn't have Pac-Man, it doesn't have Donkey Kong. It only has Capcom games. So to keep up with releases, like, or to keep their arcades, you know, feeling fresh, they would release new versions of the same game. So that's where Street Fighter 2, and then Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, like that, that's where all that came from. And that just kind of became a tradition for Capcom in general, just kind of re-releasing the same game. And that's just kind of how it is. We look at that and we're like, why don't you just make a new game? But the Japanese don't care. Like that's just how it's always been. So there really is a weird clash, but now it's really starting to bleed over, and we're starting to notice it. Like Resident Evil 4, for example, you can no longer look up Ashley's skirt. That was definitely Western influence. And then she's no longer ditzy going, Leon, save me, Leon. She, you know, she's not like strong woman, but she's not what she was. But what she was made sense given the context of the character. But now you can't have that because, well, that's an unfair stereotype. And there's all the talk of, what is the next Resident Evil remake going to be? Because Capcom came out and said, we are doing another remake. And the logical conclusion that everyone's jumping to is like, well, it's got to be 5, right? You just did 2, then you did 3, then you did 4. So it's got to be 5. But a lot of faggots in the West say, oh, that game's racist because you're killing a bunch of black people. Well, you're in Africa. What kind of people live in Africa? Well, it's mostly blacks. And here's the thing. I say mostly because there are notable zombies in that game that aren't black. There's some random Chinamen. There's some random, like, looking like Fijians. There might even be some kind of Mexicans, but maybe those are Arabs. I'm not sure, but they're not all black. Most of them are black, but it's Africa. Most of the people, especially you're in sub-Saharan Africa, you know, you're not in Egypt. You're in like super unga bunga land. Okay. So most of the people you would encounter there are going to be like black as midnight, black as pitch, blacker than the heart of the foulest witch. Like you're going to encounter some Charlie Murphy looking blacks.
Coal country.
Exactly. They're in coal country, which I think that new show, or that it got canceled, that show that was on HBO, they called it Lovecraft Country, even though it was all blacks. That probably should have been called Coal Country.
Yeah.
But
made me very sad.
Yeah. Well, as it should have, it was meant to insult you, but a lot of people are complaining like you can't remake Resident Evil 5. Because it's the racist one. But if you remake it, you have to change all the models of the African characters. So you're not, so it's not a game where you kill blacks. But this is the problem that, like, this is the corner that they have been backed into. Like, everything has to be black, but you can't do anything negative to blacks. So you can't have any drama, and you can't have anything exciting. Like, every game has to be suck off the Negro simulator. That literally, that's every game that every left-wing journalist and art student that's getting into video game wants to make.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, speaking of it, I mean, because it has to be that, because otherwise we have like silly games like, what was he forwarded, Bobby? Westman was deplatformed.
Yes. And I don't know too much about them, to be honest, but saw that KVLT Games, Quilt Games, was retweeting some of their stuff. So maybe they're friends or something.
Well, but, I was, full disclosure, all that clicking you heard earlier, I was actually trying out the prototype for their Westman game here.
Okay.
It's just funny. You know, it's like, oh, hey, have these historical figures defend the West from the spiteful mutants that want to steal our young virgin woman aged 25 to 30.
So it's all like 2016 style rhetoric. And
yeah, it's funny. Like literally there was some dude with a fucking mohawk that had a sign that said kill all white people.
Yeah. So
it's
blast
just
back obviously to 2016.
Yeah, it's a fun little game. I mean, anybody wants to check it out, try it, because mm-hmm. they got a free prototype. But yeah, no, but that is what is happening. Is we'll see how other places stay on. But yeah, that's, and I'm hoping that the same thing doesn't have to happen to the Great Rebellion, because you know that would massively suck. Which is why I say pre-order also from their website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
I'll do what I did. Pre-order and then also wishlist on Steam to help it get pushed forward, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of our guys, I mean, I've met people, you know, in the movement, quote unquote, who got radicalized by Gamergate, who came through our ideas, you know, through video games. I mean, I'm sure there's quite potential. There's guys who have come to seeing, you know, things from our very, very normal and rational point of view from listening to us talk about video games. You know, there's at least one guy, you know?
Yeah.
So our guys making games and seizing the reins of culture and video games are culture. I mean, anybody who wants to say, oh, well, it's not really, all you're doing is seeding ground. And precisely. No, like, oh, well, you know, you got Minecraft and this for Spurgs. Yeah, Spurgs are like trains who become engineers. I play Minecraft, I make an Ender Nigger farm that's just nothing but chickens and watermelon. And try to use a fishing pole to drag the Enderman into there and try and trap them. I mean, eventually they teleport out, you know, they're sneaky little Enderman, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, and I've said it before, they basically are niggers. I mean, they walk around, they just steal shit, and if you look them in their face, they get hostile.
Wow. Sounds
and they,
close
they don't
to
fight you straight up. They, like, teleport and then try to run sneaky from behind.
Yeah. What do they do if you look them in the eyes and lock your bike in front of them, in front of the chicken shop?
Oh, they get mad. They try to kill you. And in fact, they call their buddies to also do the same.
They call.
Yeah, they call it. Yo, cuz, he racist, cuz. You're looking at me. Why are you looking at me, white man? You don't let me steal your houses? My house, nickel.
I was playing Dead by Daylight earlier, and I was just doing dailies. And one of them was like, I had to play as the Shaniqua. And then I was just acting like a DMV lady the whole time. And that was actually pretty fun. They're like, get your hands off me, honky. Like, I remembered, I was like, I'm gonna beat your monkey ass.
Nice.
Yeah, I was having a good time. Just, I mean, I try to never ever play as the Shaniqua in that game, but I was like, I have to. And then like I gave her like a ridiculous afro and like really, really bad clothes, and I was like, this is okay, this is kind of fun.
You should have recorded that, and then we would, and then make people pay like $1 to see it.
Well, that, I mean, that would have been pretty, pretty good, but it was so spur of the moment. I was not ready to just hook everything up. Like, huh, I wonder, would people like it if I just started babbling like a baboon?
I'd pay $1 to go ahead and keep watching that. Yeah, that'd be funny.
Yeah, I think it would have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Hindsight is 2020. And next time I play, I'm not. I'm probably not going to be the Shaniqua. So.
Very fair.
Oofta, you want me to touch on this YouTube situation?
Yes, Bobby. Now that I've introduced the idea of us making gaming videos and people paying for them, do tell us how YouTube apparently is the reason my computer runs slow.
You know, can we before you go into this, I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was like, "Yeah, I don't know why my computer's just my CPU usage is like it's at like 99% now." And then when you link that, I'm like, "Holy moly!" Because my CPU usage has been really high lately, and I was like, you know, the old girl's just she's ready to go. But when I saw this, like, hey, wait a minute. What's the matter with you?
Yeah. So are you guys familiar with what like a zombie farm is?
Probably not
outside of the school district in Baltimore. No.
All right. So it's probably has some other freaky term, but you have a bunch of zombie computers and these Internet of Things kind of stuff. And they're like mining Bitcoins for this Chinese guy. Uh-huh. That kind of thing. You have a smart TV, a smart, you know, microwave, a smart freaking whatever, a thing that plugs in your Roomba.
Smart vibrator.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Everything with a like a processing unit is working as a zombie with 100,000 others trying to do some stuff, and. Basically, they've said now it's in the news. It's not just you. YouTube is slowing down your PC if you have Adblock installed by making your CPU sweat, likely as a part of its draconian war on ad blockers. And even the ones who pay the $15 a month for the premium, they're getting shook by it if they're using a browser that has an ad blocker, because the presence of your ad blocker means that you're using it across the web, and Google AdSense is the biggest dick in the game. You know what I mean? So they don't like you going to a different website and having it, but on YouTube, they're able to be like, oh, instead of decoding this file, which is like a standard format, we're going to make it really gnarly. And then your CPU is just sweating for, it's like, all right, I'm going to do the podcast, but I'm going to do it one letter at a time, you know, and I'm going to do it in Morse code. And then we're going to make Ruckus translated into English, and he'll have to, and it's just like extra work. It's busy work for the CPU. So whereas I would like to podcast like this, you know, instead we just talk like humans, you know, but yeah, so they've been found out, and people are like, yo, what's going on? And with laptops, this is particularly dangerous, because the number one thing that goes on a laptop is the CPU fan, because you have it there on your lap to fry your balls, to lower your sperm count, as you do, and then it's getting hotter and hotter because it's doing whatever it's doing, like video editing. That would be like when you're rendering the video, that would be music, all these things are heavy. Oh, you're just on YouTube and you accidentally have an ad blocker? Yeah, that's going to cost you. So people are fuming at this.
Yeah. Is it just YouTube right now, or is it all Google AdSense?
They're saying it's just YouTube for now. But you could imagine, well, I think with Google AdSense, it would not make sense to slow down, like you have Google AdSense on your website so that you get like a few shekels a month. Oh, wait, hey, all the users that are going on my website are saying that it's slowing down their computer. Now they don't want to buy my my stuff anymore, you know? I have my custom vacuum shop where I hand make it and stitch it for this ancient Talmudic practice, and now they're not buying the special sheet they need, where they, you know, cut a hole in it, you know?
Oh. Yeah, because I was noticing that anything that had, like, Google Ads in general was making my computer run slow. And I thought it was just because my computer is just an old piece of crap that has next to no memory. But then I swapped to Opera GTX, and it lets you throttle how much RAM it's actually allowed to use per tabs. Okay. And it like puts tabs into sleep mode if they haven't been used for a bit, so it doesn't take up memory. So that maybe that's why it's going faster.
Yeah, so RAM is a little different than CPU, but I'm sure that it's kind of similar. It could be that they will just throttle a tab that's in the background, you know, because like your active tabs, you know, what's going on with that? Like with most browsers, if you open up a thing and it restores the previous session, it won't even get that website until you click to it, because that would be like you'd have the slowest browser of all time, but it's not really slow. It's just fetching everything in my 40 tabs, and that would be very slow.
Yeah, that's awful. It does also have a CPU limiter.
Okay. Yeah. Smart. Yeah. Chrome has a task manager. Brave does, because it's based on Chromium. All of these things. And people are, you know, in the tech world, they're looking at the data, and what they found surprised them. They're pissed about it, because it's just bad for your PC, you know, or your laptop, et cetera. It's just wasting your cycles for no reason.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. It's like, because I've been seeing, like I told you guys before, where I heard about this a while ago, and I finally decided to actually, make the jump to check it out. And it's actually working really well, because I was using, Firefox for a while, just because that was more user-friendly to be able to plug shit into. Yeah. This is more user-friendly. I can install themes on it. I can set my shit up all to the side. And, I mean, it was meant for gamers, so you can control like how much shit it's actually using, so you don't slow down your computer, you know?
Yeah.
It's nice.
And I just reopened the article. And it says that it's not because of us. We didn't do nothing. But if you know anything about these engineers, they will create like a VM where they measure all the resources being used. And they'll duplicate that VM, and then they'll have one browser where the only difference is an ad blocker. And what is happening to these two CPUs? Wow, one of them is spinning up all the way. So people are not believing it at all, because this is what I said on the previous thing where we talked about it. They're not going to discover ad block as you know, they've been trying for years to go bypass it. But those guys, those nerds are getting like $5 donations once a year from like, I don't know, a billion people, or probably not. But, you know, they're getting enough money to live off of it where they're like, they wake up and they're like, all right, where's the new ads coming from? Oh, it's this server? Yeah, we're just blocking that server. And YouTube is, you know, just struggling. So now, because they can't like force an ad through, what they're just going to do is spin up your CPU so that experiencing trouble, experiencing slow, gee whiz, maybe you should be on a vanilla Chrome browser without ad block, you know?
Yeah, I've actually gotten that message. Like, are you having, before I swapped this, like, is things going slow? Maybe you need to swap to YouTube Premium. It's like, wait, so you're just admitting your ads are slowing down my loading of my thing, huh? Like, now.
They're throttling you.
Yep, people. No, we got all the nice ad blocker nerds out there doing all the shit they can.
Yes.
And like that, especially this next generation of people trying to screw us over don't seem to understand that there are so many websites out there just dedicated to giving free versions or even free but better versions of the shit that's out there. And we mentioned before things like like instead of Microsoft Office, get OpenOffice, because it has everything and then some, and can actually use more file extensions.
Yeah, but that's why companies like Microsoft will bundle all of it into a subscription. So you get like, let's say, you get a terabyte of, cloud storage, and then you get Office with that. And then you get Windows 11, which is, they've talked about how Windows 11 or 12, one of those was going to be a subscription. So, it's all just, Ruckus, it's just $10, $15, $20 a month for all of your Microsoft computer needs. But I've seen some gnarly stuff that I want to dig into before I talk about, but there's more like hardware ID kind of things that are going to be more transparent, if you will, to the web. And so it's like, it's one thing you install Valorant, where its anti-cheat will like melt your CPU, and it has a hardware ID. So if you cheat or say something scandalous, it's not like you buy a new account or something and you keep playing. No, your hardware ID. So now you need a new graphics card. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's going more and more in that direction. I think a lot of the Windows boys who understand are heading out,
Well, I figured they were doing that when I remember, I told you about this before. I got a new one now. I had an HP printer, and it pissed me off every single time I had to use it because it would be plugged into my computer, turned on. The computer recognizes the printer and vice versa. But no printing could happen unless my computer could contact the HP server.
Yeah. That's...
Like, yo, listen, okay? Straight up, I have shit that I need to print for work, and my internet is out, which is why I had to print this out for work rather than just get it at work because the internet's out all across the city. Oh, no, I can't do it because I can't access the fucking thing on my computer, but it's plugged into my computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, ridiculous. What the goddamn genius thought this was a smart idea? Oh, I know, the same ones that want to ruin everything with video games.
Yeah.
And, I'm lumping them all together, and I'm sure I'm not actually wrong in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, they want to send a copy of what you want to print to the HP main server so they can just cache it and get your IP and just store it. And then they also leave little micro dots there that identify the MAC address of the thing itself. So if you ever tell a neighbor that, I don't appreciate it when you pissed on my lawn last night, please don't do it again. You're a concerned pal. Why don't you take a 13th step and get out of the neighborhood? you send that to him, and that's criminal harassment and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because they got those micro dots. Like, and that's how like online this world has become. Yeah. I'm sure, there's no like video game where you can just put it into the thing and play it. No, you got to be hooked up to the web to install it, and update it and things like this. And it's like that with everything. I got like a GoPro, and in order for me to use it, I had to hook it up to the web. I took it up to my phone, which is connected to the web, and it installed an update. So you're telling me I couldn't press the play button, the capture button and all that? No?
Yeah.
No? Okay. Great. Sweet.
Yeah. The only game I've had within recent memory that had the opposite that happened was Baldur's Gate 3. Because I had the opposite thing where when I was trying to play, it kept crashing. I looked it up. It turned out that for a temporary little bit of time, Larian's network and the PlayStation network just were not playing nicely. So Larian literally put something out, said, hey, our networks aren't playing nice. Just go offline and you can play.
There you go. Nice.
And they were like, hey, yeah, no, guys, listen, we recognize the problem. It's a network problem. Just go offline and play. And like, a game developer told me to go offline and play? This is amazing.
Yeah.
You mean you're not trying to go ahead and just super track every last little thing I do to build up my eventual social credit score?
Yeah, exactly. With a hot mic straight to the NSA.
Yeah. Yeah, with the ADL on standby, right?
Yeah, bingo. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, you know, YouTube, it's against us. And apparently there's some kind of content or purge happening. I don't know. I just, YouTube is like a great place to look up carpentry videos, and that's about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, actually, I had a buddy of mine. I was showing a friend of mine, because, you know, she's really interested in history. I was showing her this thing on YouTube I saw. It was about, you know, how most modern day things deny the stuff that happened during the Hall of Costs. You know, like the electrified floors and all that, but they were all actually proven in a court of law at Nuremberg.
Strange.
And I showed her like it's right here on YouTube. You know, proven at Nuremberg, right there. Just listen to it. All this stuff was proven. They deny it now, but it was proven.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How can that be? I mean, do we have such an information gap from that time? They should put a lot of that evidence on the internet. You know.
They really should. I mean, you know, especially considering that even the museums in DC deny this stuff now.
Weird.
Yeah, very, very weird. But aside from all that, you know, YouTube hating us and hating us so much that they're actively trying to melt our PCs, you know, that might be why I haven't had any more kids yet. You know, my laptop was literally cooking my nuts. What games are you going to play lately, Bobby?
I am to be determined, you know. I'm kind of low T, as they say. Just low energy right now in the still of winter. And twiddling my thumbs is more effort. But, you know, I'll probably jump back into GTA 5, get a little more of the good feels before they hit me with 6 and it's game over. If I get it, you know.
Yeah, very fair. Rolo, you going to be playing as Mammy in Dead by Daylight?
No, I've been doing Metal Gear Solid 1 lately. I'm just going through it, doing all the fun collection? Things. Well, it's pretty good. It has some pretty neat features. I don't know what people are saying about it. I have a feeling that there's a lot of people like, this thing sucks because it doesn't have blah, blah, blah. I can see like the real like hyperspurgs saying like it's not good enough for this, that, or whatever. I know there was some problem where like not maybe it was like only some of the games went up to 720p or something. I don't remember. I know there was something in one of them. There was a problem with resolution. I mean, I haven't even started 2 or 3 yet. I've only done Metal Gear 1, Metal Gear 2, and now I'm doing Solid, and I'm running through the game. I beat it, got the stealth camo, and I'm running through it again, trying to get the bandana, and I got to the torture sequence, and to get the bandana, you have to resist the torture. Yeah. And I accidentally pressed the touchpad, which touchpad is now give up.
Oh.
And I didn't save at all. I just sprinted right to that moment, and it was about 50 minutes. So I had to restart the game and get back to that. And I was real mad because my hand just slipped and touched that. But I've been experimenting with the many glitches that the game offers. That allows you to skip major portions of the game. And how one of them was discovered was pretty funny. and I just don't know how people discover a lot of these things. Like last week when we talked about like, why are people using the Sega Saturn to mod these games? And Bobby's explanation seemed plausible, but there's one glitch where in the beginning of the game, if you go into a vent backwards as far as you can go without switching perspective and you switch to first person view and you look up and you let go of up first person view and you press stand up all at the same time, you end up in the wall and you can walk around to the door to the torture chamber and you can skip the first half of the game and skip right to the torture sequence, which I can confirm that does work on the Master Collection. I did try that, and I don't know how you figure that out. But the funny thing is, every time you beat a boss, your life bar goes up. So if you skip the first half of the game, you start with the base health bar, and you don't have any of the guns. you have to get through the rest of the game with basically no health and no guns. So that's pretty funny. And there's another one where you can skip the entire rope rappel sequence and another annoying thing. And what you do is you hug a door and you switch to first person and you line up with a certain line on the wall, like your vision, I mean, and you cook a grenade, and half the time the damage that the grenade does kicks you backwards and through the doors, skipping major portions. And I confirmed today that does work as well.
It's got to be something in the engine they use for it.
I have no idea how you what. Okay, so the one that I just brought up, the where the thing hits you and it kicks you through the door, that was discovered by some thought who kept dying on one part and accidentally got through it. But some guys, they watched that footage, and then they autistically tried to break it however they could, and then they figured out like, this is what you do to do it. The other one, I have no idea how you figure out. Go in as far as you can, look up, let go, and press stand up at the same time you're in the wall. You go, and then you walk around to the other side of the map, and then you end up in the door.
I mean, that's probably somebody did it accidentally in a different spot and tried to recreate another stuff. I mean, like, I can tell you right now, watching my kids play, once you discover a glitch and you think it's funny, you just want to see if you can recreate it over and over again. Yeah, it'd be like if you went ahead and all of a sudden you did like some, you happened to somehow just randomly accidentally do some weird shit from like the Matrix. You'd probably spend weeks trying to see if you could recreate whatever weird shit you did. Even if it's something as simple as like you put your hand out to grab a soda and like the soda shot across the table into your hands.
Yes. Glitches are fun. Like I remember Trackmania, those tracks. The like custom, yeah, or well, not custom, the default maps, people were always looking for freaky ways to like beat them. Like, you don't even need to go through this checkpoint, or you know, you can go through them in different orders and then beat the map quicker, you know. And people are spurging out on it. Spurging,
I mean, a lot of games these days, I'll see where, like, okay, the game wants me to go through this area and engage in a tense firefight with these enemies. But what if instead I use my jump upgrade to just jump over onto this wall here and then snipe the two guys and then jump over everything else, bypassing all the bullshit?
Yeah, that's creative.
Yeah, and a lot of times, and you'll discover, like, did they think, oh, yeah, somebody could do this, but we don't know how to handle it, so we just put an invisible wall there? Or do we just let the player do it? Or do we not think of it, and then it breaks the game? In typically very funny ways. You know, like I was playing Cyberpunk 2077 earlier and got to the fight against Sasquatch. And because I was fighting her and just kept blasting her with the grenade so much, she actually ended up in the corner just like aggressively T-posing. Like arms up and then down and then up and then down. Like aggressively trying to T-pose at me for like 5 minutes. And I just had to stop and keep laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and as for me, that's probably what I'm going to keep, playing. That, and I'm going to check out the new, is it Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader game that came out? It's made by the same people that made the Pathfinder game, so I expect it to be, like, as good as those games, which people who like Pathfinder love those games. So I'm hoping it'll be good. You know, it'll be based. There won't be no female space marines, whatever other bullshit that they try to make up these days. But other than that, everybody, it's new year. Let's vote with our, let's literally vote with our wallets, support our guys and the people that engage in business practices that we actually like, as opposed to all the bullshit they're trying to push, where they will take your favorite games off and then remake it with all blacks and then tell you that it was always like that. Outside of that, play responsibly, make white babies. This is a threat.